Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text, Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 through 31. The Reverend Robert Zagor is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the book of Galatians, the fourth chapter. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These two women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear, break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will become more than those of the one who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. Just as at that time he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit this with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Paul throws us for a loop in this reading. We hear about things that we don't normally talk about, slave women, free women, allegorical interpretations of the Scripture, and so on. And we get confused, although this is really a very simple passage, or at least it should be for Lutherans, and especially for those who have read and understood the Lutheran confessions. But even the language hurts us a little bit in our understanding of what we're trying to do, because it starts out by saying, you who want to live under the law, haven't you read what the law says? And Paul is really referring to two separate uses of the word law. The first time, he is referring to the law as in law and gospel, the way that we talk about it. The second time, he's talking about the law, meaning the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And, of course, there was a great honor and integrity in living under the ordinances of the first five books of the Bible. The problem is, as Paul had been pointing out to the Galatians all throughout the book so far, that nobody was doing it very well. They were all falling, they were all subject to scrutiny, they were all subject to the Lord's judgment, and nobody was getting redeemed by showing how well they were keeping the law of God, everything that he told them in the first five books of the Bible. And now he tries another way. Like every good preacher, like every good parent, like every good teacher, he tries a bunch of different ways to get through to people. He starts with the shock and awe. If anyone, even an angel from heaven, declares to you a gospel different than the one that I proclaimed to you, let him be forever sent to hell. That's big stuff coming from an apostle. We have others. He tries the logical path. He tries the sincere path. Now, he's doing it just like their rabbis do. Taking the Scripture and telling a different story, making a different application than was originally there. This is not what Hagar and Sarah were about in the Old Testament. But, of course, Paul tells us that by saying that he's speaking allegorically. So what does it mean? It comes down to this. Is it up to how well you can figure out how to make things happen? Or is it up to the promises of God that determine how things will go for the people of God, how they'll go for His church, and what it means for your salvation? If you depend on the one, you will always be a slave. How well have you done during the pandemic? Have you lived up to the expectations that everybody should have? How has your mission zeal been? Do you find yourself always filled with the joy of the work of the Lord? Do you rejoice as you get up every morning and say, oh good, another day of pandemic that the Lord has given us so that we can rejoice in the good work that He's given us to do? Or do we, like all slaves, grumble against our master as he's put us in positions that we don't find appealing to our flesh? Do we say, I wish that life were different. If I were running the world, I would do it this way. As though somehow or another, if we ran the world, things would turn out much better. And how many of our solutions come not as a result of God promising to do something, but as a result of us trying to figure out how we would do things if we possibly could, and trying to do the practical thing. Back when I was in my last parish setting, there was a 7-Eleven run by two wonderful Lutherans right next door to my congregation. So I was over there frequently. And I would spend a lot of time talking with them, chatting with them, but they also sold lottery tickets there. And on days when they had lottery tickets and I thought that I'd drop by for 5 minutes, get a big gulp, say hello and leave, it was quite a different experience, because there were long lines of people, all of whom in that line looked as though they didn't have the money to lose, putting lots of money, especially as the jackpots got big, on the lottery. And I would walk over in my clerical collar, and I'd be standing in line to pay for my big gulp, and they'd be standing in line to buy lottery tickets, and somebody would almost assuredly turn around and say, I just want the money to be able to give to the church. I just want the money to be able to help my grandchildren. And I'd say, well, isn't that a nice thing to do? And say, but you realize that this is probably a violation of the first, the fifth, the seventh, the ninth, and the tenth commandments. So don't give the church 10%. If you win, we get half. The idea that somehow or another, by our wit, by our charm, by our resources, by our money, by whatever else we've got, that we can somehow improve on the promise of God is an old one, because it's the one that Paul is arguing against here. He's saying, you're not going to improve on what was given by the promise. God's promises interact with billions of lives over a thousand generations to bring about the salvation of the world, and it's the very same plan that brought about your salvation, and in the waters of your baptism, the plan that made the promise that brings salvation to you. You are not where you are as a child of God today because of your great thinking. You're a child of God because God continually makes promises, and when you start acting like you're not a child of God, He brings you back to where those promises are spoken again and remain true, back to the waters of your baptism, back to the altar and the cup of His shed blood, back to the Word of God which is spoken to you that reminds you of how He redeemed you and His promises. I do believe that almost every error that the faithful can make within church and interpretation of the Scripture have to do with forgetting whose promises we really need to be following, whose wisdom we really need to be embracing, and that we can trust those promises, because they've never failed and they've never been wrong. Look back, if you can, over thousands of generations, over the sands of the seashore and the stars of the sky, at Abraham's generations, and tell me if his promises have ever failed anyone. They will not fail you. And it's this promise, based on things that he's done, not that you do, based on things that are in his hands, not yours, but make the gifts that result from it eternal. Your life is embraced in a giant promise. You are embraced in a great and wondrous love. Promise that took him through generations with grumbling Israel, through incarnation, through rejection, suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension, all of which led him to keep his promise to you. This Lent, especially as Holy Week comes around the next corner, keep your eyes on the cross and think not, this is how obedient I need to be, or this is something that I need to do. But think, look at how far the Lord has gone to keep his promise to me, who didn't deserve it, couldn't earn it. Look at how much he's done, and how truly, now and forever, I can trust the promises he makes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the Minnesota South District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for Chaplain Cody Norton and Chaplain Derek Walter, who are deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.